welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. Of course, True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, as you just heard, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinsplus.com. We're always involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of rare coins, precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, coins and collections, estates. But our real specialty is wealth and capital preservation, helping you save and preserve your financial assets, the money you've earned or been blessed with, in a sound, biblical, conservative financial way. Thanks for listening to the show. I was gone last Friday. You probably listened to a rerun, I'm sure, or as Tom calls them, an encore, which is a great name for it. And we went to another city, and we kind of had an invitation thing to go see, what's his name? The redneck guy. I can't even remember right now. Larry the Cable Guy and whoever the other guy was, the famous guy. I can't remember his name. But anyway, we had quite some interesting experiences. I had some young kids try to steal my bag out of the bathroom and go outside with it, and God was there. We had a bunch of weird incidents where God just like did cool stuff, but I somehow saw him outside the door. I didn't see him take it, but I was looking around. I was really worried because I had everything in it. It was kind of a black leather shoulder bag, and I saw these kids out by the garbage cans or something, out by way out these doors down this corridor that I saw as I went around the corner, and God just magnetically drew my eyes there. I kind of accelerated as I knew it was my bag, and I took the bag off the kid's shoulder, which proceeded to put him to the ground, and the other kid was kind of in shock, so he started to run, and then, you know, keep the long story short, eventually the cops got there, and the kid was arrested, so that was good. But it's kind of interesting, even in an airport bathroom, I mean, of all places, you can get ripped off. You'd think with the cameras, the kids are obviously not too bright, but I guess that's the world we live in, folks, and that's in Boise, Idaho. Jeff Foxworthy. I can't believe I couldn't remember his name. So anyway, that's in Boise, Idaho, that I experienced that situation. So it was quite the experience, we'll put it that way. And there's a few lessons built in there. You got to guard your stuff with your life, I'm telling you. And then we had a couple other things I won't really get into. But welcome to the show. I'll admit I haven't over the weekend done a good job of keeping up with the news a whole heck of a lot. I know that in Europe, in France, they had the primary election where they choose candidates from multiple parties, and they apparently chose a very conservative gal, and I can't remember who the other guy was, but they're not from the mainstream. They are very revolutional, I guess we'll call it. They're very abstract. It's the same thing that's been going on with Brexit and Trump. And there's this sense around the world that, you know, people are tired of having socialism slammed down their throats. But the thing is, you know, what I was doing a lot of reading on, and it's really hard to captivate, is the level of fake news. It's ironic, folks, because Donald Trump, I believe, is a vessel. He's a vehicle, and he is he's a very simple man. I believe he's, you know, he's just a sound person, and he does things that seem rash and rude, but somehow God is able to move through him, at least especially since he started to campaign. And he has predicted or prophesied some of the craziest things. It's like everything he's done along the way have come true. And he came up with this fake news concept that the media despises. They absolutely despise it. And yet now there's all this evidence coming out with like WikiLeaks. Oh, great. There goes this. With WikiLeaks, and they hate WikiLeaks. He comes out and he shows that the CIA actively plants fake news and makes it look like the Russians did it, that the CIA hacks into computers and makes it look like the Russians did it. I mean, they're dirty, dirty folks, are they not? And so out there, they're out there doing this stuff, and most of us think, well, there's no way they could be doing this stuff. And yet, folks, they are literally controlling the future of this nation. For some reason, they have a problem with Trump. They really have a bone to pick, and apparently these government organizations have been saturated with liberality, with socialists, with government drones, I guess you could refer to them as. A few years back when John Boehner came up here, when he was the Speaker of the House, and I had the fortune of spending a day with him, kind of not just a handful of us on a boat and at a friend's house. And talking to him, that's when the Obama scandals were just prevalent. They were running rampant. And as I spoke to him, he proposed some theories or facts that to the average person would sound very conspiratorial. And those facts were that there are secret societies, basically. He didn't use the term. I'm using the term secret society, that basically work on getting kids from a very young age, pushing them through law school, liberals, pushing them through law school, getting them placed in specific parts of government to block, to control, to mold. And that he said when they began to do in-depth research or investigation into the Obama scandals, they were met head-on with resistance from the depths. And, you know, there's different societies he discussed of, you know, some are for young black girls and, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. Now I'm sure they're going to add the homosexual thing in there, which they always do. But they literally get these kids that are star students. And of course, to the parents, it's a wonderful thing. They say, look, your little Johnny is brilliant. We'd like to put him in this special program. We're going to pay for everything. He's going to go to this extraordinary private school, and he's going to go on to a law degree. We're going to guide him. We want him. We're going to pick an area for him to specialize in. And, you know, and the parents are like, oh my gosh, and it's all paid. What a wonderful thing. You know, so they convert these kids into complete government drones, into their own. It's basically a form of a civil soldier. And then they plant these kids underneath other people who have been through the same program, and they begin to create these tiers of power, and they begin to control our government. Okay. Well, in one form, when you get like Trump in there and he's scrambling to fill all these, you know, these openings, he had 4,000 jobs to fill, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know, what, you know, so many of these are so petty and irrelevant. They're not. They're not at all. They matter so much, but we don't realize, you know, the amount of resistance that's been built in. And folks, it's interesting because it is driven, in my opinion, by a lack of ethics. It's driven by this Orwellian mindset. George Orwell wrote 1984, the book. And the book was about now. He wrote it in the 30s, predicting it happened by the 80s. There is something very interesting about science fiction writing. When they pick future dates, they do tend to pick dates that are much sooner than the science gets there. One such reason I think is sound is the fact that we have money as an issue and government regulation. As this country really started to boom and explode around the turn of the 18th century, 1900 on up, we were making some crazy progress. And if you go back to the technology at the time of the Civil War that was utterly destroyed, I mean, we were at a phenomenal state because everything went. There was not all these crazy rules and regs. Believe it or not, when the North won the war, things changed. The North came down with an iron fist. The North began a form of communism, really, folks, on this nation, a form of governmental control that our founding fathers never saw coming. And I did a show on it a while ago, that the impact of the North winning and the fact that Abraham Lincoln single-handedly, in my opinion, killed 700,000 adult males at a time when the population of the nation was 16 million. And you figure out of 16 million, half are men, half are male, half are female, so that's 8 million. And you figure at least half are below or above the childbearing age, so that brings the 8 million down to 4 million. And out of that 4 million, you know, we lost 700,000 men. And, you know, so that's, what, 18% of childbearing population. At the time, in many cases, there was one vote per household. And that vote was cast by the man. And a lot of this history that we get taught about women couldn't vote, it really wasn't about that. It was about the fact that there was one vote per household. It makes it simple. And when the man leads, as God says in the Bible and the way this country was set up, it does change the way we vote, like it or not, folks. Women tend to vote extraordinarily liberal. Men, in general, are 38% liberal. Women are almost 78% in polls. And it has changed this nation drastically, because it's emotion. If a politician says, I'm going to take care of your kids, I want to build up the schools, you know, these kinds of things, they really speak to the woman. Now, no offense, it's just the way we're made up. The difference is that women tend not to be logical. They don't always ask, that's mean, I hope no one takes that wrong. They're not, typically men in surveys, studies, IQ, tend to be a little bit more logical. I know there's women that are incredibly logical out there, but generally they tend to be a little bit more emotional, so they don't ask as much how things are going to, how the inner workings are going to happen. That's where you'll get women activists that just press and push and push and press, and you know, they'll go to such an extreme that eventually something's got to give, but things take time. And so after the Civil War, when there was such a great loss of male leadership in our nation and a loss of the ability to vote, and by the way, on anything that had to do with property rights, you had to own property to vote. This idea of people voting who don't own property, folks, if there is a listener out there who doesn't already have this figured out, if you vote and you don't own property, vote in favor of a property owner. Don't vote against it. Don't vote for more taxes. When you vote, read. Don't just read the rubbish that they are allowed to put on that ballot. I would consider myself pretty well read. And I can tell you, in election after election, if I went off of what they write on that ballot, I would be deceived 50 or 70% of the time. So you can't go off of what's on the ballot. You got to do your own research or don't vote on it at all. Because unfortunately, what gets written up there is not written by an objective party. It's written by the writer of the bill. And they so often skew the facts. It's scary. That's one area I've had a serious problem with forever. The way they define the bill that you're voting on, right on the ballot. It's deceptive. It's terribly deceptive. So always do your research and always vote in favor of property owners. Less taxes, more freedom. That's America. Don't let, you know, don't let yourself be deceived. And especially, you got to understand, anytime they say, well, you know, it's just 0.2% of your property value, you know, and it's going to help the schools. Folks, do you know that none of that money is ever fully 100% allocated and segregated? What that means is for 1 year, that money will be allocated and segregated for that purpose. In the future, those budgets are fully realigned. In other words, scrambled. The money gets thrown into a pot, and then they start to pull it all back out and assign it. So as you pay more taxes, your schools can be falling apart. If the people that are doing the budgeting don't favor what the wishes of the voter were, it's over. You need to realize this. It's more taxes never solve any problems. They just don't. I mean, it's proven time and time again, but we just keep getting brainwashed. There's always a new generation coming up, a new idealistic generation, and they learn how horrible everything is, and they're susceptible to propaganda. And so we're in an Orwellian state right now where our government, our CIA, is literally controlling all of this fake news stuff. And they're putting it out there for us, and we're being deceived. We're being heavily, heavily deceived. We're living in a world of incredible turmoil. And I think you know that. I think you realize that. They say, you know, on Global Research, a website I look at sometimes, the CIA is one of the main peddlers of fake news, and newly declassified documents show. And then it goes down and it, Joseph Hart, whatever, I won't list off all the names, but it basically shows all these people that the CIA agents work with closely with the owners and journalists of many of the largest media outlets. So the CIA is in tight with the owner of the Christian Science Monitor, LA Times. This is brand new stuff. Time Magazine, Publishers, Newspaper Syndicate, whatever that is, New York Times, Washington Bureau, New York Times, New York, Wall Street Journal, other newspaper syndicates, U.S. News and World Report, New York Times, all these multiple people with New York Times and Time Magazine, Saturday Evening Post, and it keeps going on, Washington Post, Fortune, Forbes, on and on. They have access, and then you go back to the U.S. Senate Select Committee to study governmental operations with respect to intelligence activities in 1975, and they show how they absolutely manipulated the U.S. over and over again. Operation Mockingbird, where they influenced over 25 newspapers and wire agencies, and their usual methodology was to place reports developed from intelligence provided by the CIA to witting or unwitting reporters. And the reporters would then repeat and cite by the preceding reporters, which in turn would then be cited throughout the media wire services like the AP. They have a system for this, folks. In 2008, the New York Times reported, during the early years of the Cold War, prominent writers and artists from Arthur Schlesinger Jr. to Jackson Pollock, big names, were supported often lavishly and always secretly by the CIA as part of its propaganda war against the Soviet Union. It was perhaps the most successful use of soft power in American history. The Times wrote that just in 08. A CIA operative told the Washington Post, Philip Graham, in a conversation about the willingness of journalists to peddle CIA propaganda and cover stories, you could get a journalist cheaper than a good call girl for a couple $100 a month. And this is going on now. They are able to buy our journalists off to plant these stories. Where these come from, folks, all this rubbish and garbage is not just random. These people are being paid under the table small amounts of money, very pathetic. In fact, in a lot of times, it says they're being paid enough that their life becomes dependent upon it, and it's also enough to destroy their career should it ever come out. And then it says, in numerous situations surrounding the Clintons, people who had become aware of CIA involvement in propaganda were, quote, disappeared. And that's where you go to the CIA, the Clinton Chronicles that came out so strong. I think, folks, when it comes to the government, to power, you know, power gets you everything. I mean, if you want money, you look at these third world leaders that become billionaires. Why? Power. They absolutely fleece the people. They're sick and self-centered. They're insatiably greedy. They believe they deserve it. And they care not for their people. And, you know, then you come to America and they act like we are somehow, at, you know, doing the same thing. When in reality, they're giving our people a lot of stuff, but they're doing it the wrong way. They're not teaching them a trade or a skill. They're not teaching us how to think. And folks, obviously, I have no control over any of it, but my goodness, why don't we teach our kids in school a trade and a skill and how to think? I mean, seriously. Or start a school that does this, a school system that does this. I know they're opposed to it. The National Organization for Education, or NEA, National Education Association, is fundamentally opposed to training children in a life skill. Because why? Because the school system's job is to prepare our children for college. So we spend 12 years planting triggers in their head until we can finally get those little rascals away from their parents. Then we can really brainwash the tar out of them. I mean, this is really it. I remember back in the 90s, I think it was, early 90s, late 80s, but it was mostly the late 80s when they decided parents had no say in their children's college education. None. There was actually a liberal court that handed down a decision that said as much. There was a kid who was heavily involved in heroin use, extraordinarily known all over campus. The dean, the teachers, everybody knew this kid was so strung out on heroin, it was a mess. He finally died. Parents knew nothing. Parents show up and start to do research and say, wait a minute, everybody in the world knew but us. Why did we not know? And the parents had even gotten wind of it and called the school a few times and asked all the right questions and were lied to. The school said, because he's an adult, even though the parents were paying, they said it was none of the parents' business, their child. And they lost. I mean, sadly, they lost. It says, Carl Bernstein wrote, more than 400 American journalists in the past 25 years have secretly carried out assignments for the Central Intelligence Agency, according to documents on file at CIA headquarters. Folks, this is over 400 American journalists in the last 25 years. In many instances, CIA documents show that journalists were engaged to perform tasks for the CIA with the consent of the management of America's leading news organizations. Why? I don't know. It says among the executives who lent their cooperation to the agency were the heads of CBS, Time, the New York Times, Louisville Courier Journal, Copley News Service, other organizations which cooperated with CIA included ABC, NBC, the Associated Press, UPI, Reuters, Hearst Newspapers, Scripps Howard, Newsweek Magazine, the Mutual Broadcasting System, Miami Herald, the old Saturday Evening Post, and New York Herald Tribune. There's ample evidence that America's leading publishers and news executives allowed themselves and their organizations to become handmaidens to the intelligence services. Quote, let's not pick on some poor reporters, for God's sakes, William Colby exclaimed at one point to the church committee's investigators. Let's go to the managements. The CIA even ran a formal training program to teach in the 80s to teach its agents to be journalists. Intelligence officers were taught to make noises like reporters, explained a high CIA official, and were then placed in major news organizations with help from management. Once a year, you know, and then it goes on. I mean, the bottom line is simple, folks. Does the CIA get better or do they get worse? They get better, okay? They're good. The CIA's job is the gathering of and manipulation of intelligence. People don't realize that. The CIA's job is to manipulate intelligence, to deceive you. So realize, when we talk fake news, it is coming from a source. Why the CIA is so fundamentally opposed to Donald Trump, I'm not sure. But there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that they are. It has been shown over and over. They lie. I mean, you think about it. It is absolutely crazy. We know they lie. We've caught them lying under oath to Congress. You know? So I guess basically, folks, you probably know it, and I'm preaching to the choir. The information that we are now getting is under the full theory of Karl Marx, who said, you know, you give me the media and the children, the schools, and I will control a nation in no time, basically, is what he said. He said, forget about the governing generation, the older folks. Don't need them. So bottom line is, you know, we don't really know what's going on. You're going to have to get alternative news sources. I do, you know, there's a bunch out there. You can look at the Breitbart's and the Global Research, and, you know, there's a number more. But they basically are out there looking for ways to manipulate and deceive you. I've heard, you know, I check Zero Hedge, the Daily Caller, the Daily Signal. But, folks, I still don't know. I still see a little bit of all of it everywhere. I mean, I just really think it's all, you've just got to be skeptically wise. So the French presidential election, which I think Macron and Le Pen are the two, they say, basically, Le Pen is extraordinarily conservative and Macron is very liberal. And in France, it's hard to even conceive that a conservative could win. So, of course, they have the 11-member runoff election. So it brings you down to two. And in completely defensible fashion, the whack-out liberal children have to throw a huge temper tantrum. I was reading this weekend where, you know, Ann Coulter, very conservative writer, 12-time, you know, New York Times bestseller, also, Pulitzer Prize winner, and she is blocked from UC Berkeley, Cal, the home of free speech. And now their students have done, the university has done everything to block her. And she says, I'm still going. So they keep moving her venue and they say it's because of security. So now students say they're going to sue if they allow her on campus. Folks, you know where I'm going with this stuff. We've lost it, have we not? I mean, it truly is a left versus right. We are heading into the most potent form of Marxism. The thing that is the hardest that you've got to realize is the extreme level of deception that we are under. And the fact that, you know, from the Federal Reserve game to the socialism game, they never quit. And I always talk about back under Bill Clinton when he fell from grace, if we want to put it that way, and he should have stepped down, and he said no. And they began to spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And I thought, this will never last. And it did. And this is where we are now. The spin never stops. These people get better and better and better and better. It never stops. And so we are in a constant spiritual battle. You've got to understand that this is truly a spiritual battle. And we have to live as if it is. We've got to pray as if it is, and we've got to live as if this is a spiritual battle. Because it isn't going to cease. It's not going to stop. America's a great country. We don't know quite where we're going to end up. It's very interesting to me that the destruction of the World Trade Centers, a.k.a. Mystery Babylon, was the pulling back of the veil, showing where we're going and exposing the sin of the world, and yet at the same time beginning to refine the wheat from the chaff. And there is definitely a distinction, which is a nice thing. I remember in the 80s when I was in the Young Republicans, and it was hard to tell the difference. You had a few topics, a few points of topic to debate, and that really was about it. But the problem is now, as I've said, you've got to realize it's a spiritual battle. It's good versus evil. And for some reason, the CIA is a huge manipulator of intelligence, and we've seen it all the way back to Hitler. It's scary because our founding fathers fought to protect the freedom of speech of our news agencies, which are now being abused to manipulate the general public. So I guess beware, be wise, and beware. That's about where I guess I will leave it on that. I do believe that we are looking, I think with the manipulation, when you get to where, to the world that I'm in, one area of manipulation that is profound is the money side. The Federal Reserve Act, the fact that we are consuming extraordinary amounts of people's wealth. I recently discussed the amount of debt that each one of you has on your back from this nation. Each family, $1.7 million in debt. Folks, you're not paying it back. So who do they blame it on, and how do they bring it down? You cannot land that plane softly. And God, thankfully, he really did give us a simple method to save our money. He gave us true wealth. And folks, when you look at true wealth, you look at the gold and silver and the livestock and real estate and precious stones and these things that he provided. They have a timeless track record with no break in their effectiveness. They've been consistently fungible for thousands of years without any break, without any hesitation, without any failure whatsoever. You know, and it's a very simple process. Most of us have been brainwashed again to think that investing means stock. Think about it. Investing means, in fact, take away the word investing. Think of it as saving, preserving your capital. Your job is to preserve the money God gave you. Now, I don't know where each of you are from in your background on life, but I was just thinking this morning of family friends that are very well off. My family knows a lot of people like that are older, that came from the era where you did things the right way. And I can tell you, I know a few people who have tied all their money up in stock. I know I've seen them literally come apart at the seams. I've watched their lives unravel and unwrap. I know other people that owned businesses and real estate, land leases, and you know, just buying a piece of property and leasing it out, or building a commercial joint, or land, or gold and silver. I mean, folks, I know people that have accumulated coins and precious metals over the years at rates of growth that would just not even seem real to you, because that's what they do. And they're compact, and they're liquid, and they're anonymous. And it's not about just gold and silver and when you bought it and how much it was that day. That is absolutely missing the point, because it's not a speculative savings. It is a cumulative accumulation. It's a constant accumulation of wealth that is sound. It is not going away. You know, many people out there kept saying, you know, I read that gold could go down to $700 an ounce. Well, there was this guy named Harry Dent. And if you went online and you were studying gold and silver, his ads popped up everywhere. Gold's going to $700 an ounce. Buy my free, or, you know, order my free newsletter and find out how to save yourself from, you know, financial destruction and blah, 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 you know. And then, so what he would say when you'd get it is, you need to short gold right now. You can make more money, because he wants you to buy it on paper and bet the loss. Well, he went on and on and on with that. Now the metals have become solid as a rock, moving up and building a beautiful solid floor. Why? Inflation, okay? So in 1 year, if you only make 12 or 14%, I literally have dealt with so many people in this area for decades that it's crazy. People get so used to making 30 and 40% a year, they're like, hey, how come gold and silver ain't doing so hot? And I'm like, you've made 15 to 20% a year for the last 2 years on your portfolio. What exactly do you mean by not too hot? Well, I don't know. I just was doing a lot better back in 2011. Well, of course you were. It was going ape crazy nuts. But the point is, your first and foremost goal is to preserve and protect yourself against inflation, which is the biggest hidden consumer of your wealth. It's hidden from you, okay? It's hidden by design. We live in a world of great deception. You talk about fake news. The Consumer Price Index, which I've talked about, which is the index that's supposed to tell you what inflation is, the CPI. It's the CPI used by our government to calculate and report inflation figures in exclusionary is an exclusionary index, which does not include, in other words, it excludes food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs. Those excluded expenses are what the average American consumer spends 85% of their disposable income on. So a simple calculation of inflation rates derived from these excluded items reveals that since 9/11 of 01, because that's when the world did change, inflation has grown conservatively at a rate between 10 and 12%. That's 5 to 6 times what our government statistics are constantly peddling to us. So, but our investment portfolios grow at that rate minimum. Precious metals that God says this is the way to go, folks, they've never lost their value. They've never become worthless. They are timeless valuables, okay? And yes, real estate can do the same thing, but real estate can be subjected to taxation, seizures. You know, we really do face the threat of other nations coming upon our soil, whether you like it or not. They're working on it all the time. Martial law lingers around the corner. I really believe that. It hangs over our head. Why they're on this opiate kick, I can't put my finger on it, but it's a renewal of the drug war. They're talking about all these ODs in emergency rooms. Well, I know there's so many crazy new drugs out there that kids are getting into. I think maybe that's what's going on, is they can't chase all these crazy drugs down. So they want to throw money at something that they can chase down. And at the same time, Big Pharma makes more money by pushing you into designer drugs that cost $19 a pill. I was looking online at the cost of some drugs, folks. I mean, it's like not even real. And our health insurance kills us. I mean, our car insurance kills us. A lot of it's due to lawsuits. I mean, car insurers watch what they pay. Medical insurers do not. Lawsuits kill medical, or kill car insurance and medical insurance. But I'm telling you, the costs are just out of control. I mean, of medication and pharmaceuticals. They're not like that in other countries. It's not a universal issue. And the precious metals-based assets that we build portfolios with, they you know, you've got something that's absolutely private. It's anonymous. It's transportable. It's compact. It's immediately liquid anywhere, anytime in the globe. As time goes on, more and more, this is becoming reality. I was talking to a friend of mine that owns a big, great big company, and he works nationally. And I said, how do people find you? And he's like, the internet, the internet, the internet. Well, he's in a business that he used to get a lot of business out of magazines. He said, it's over. Everything's the internet. Now they're doing business internationally. I mean, this is a unified world we live in. So what we refer to is our M3 dollar supply. Okay, that's basically our debt. That's the money that is in our system. Okay, that's the cash that's out there. It has increased from $5 trillion in 2008 to $20 trillion now. And with our budgets increase the M3 dollar supply by, 25% a year. Every year it changes because the dollar number gets bigger, but it's absolutely ridiculous. Our total U.S. debt, our unfunded liabilities that are owed over time, are literally getting to the point like $180 trillion, and they're rapidly rising. Private sector debt is in addition to this, and consumer debt is in addition to this. Total U.S. debt that is owed now is literally more than 10 times the amount of U.S. dollars in existence to pay it off. The debt cannot be paid off. The United States of America is bankrupt. That may be profound, or you may know that, but there's different levels of people listening. There's people that don't have enough money to care, and there's people that have money that do, you know. And I'm telling you, folks, if you have a 401k or IRA and your employer's contributing, you can, you know, maintain whatever you need in that to get vested properly. But otherwise, get it into a solid form of investment. I mean, you can get that money out. You can put it, you can roll it over. You can roll it out. It's up to you. But we will help you do that. We will put it into God's firm money that you will, you know, literally you will please God. This isn't a form of greed. This is just saying, look, the system is designed to deceive. I remember back in the dump of 2009, brokers saying, well, you know, you're not the only one. It's happening to everyone. Make you feel better, right? Everyone's losing money. We all lost money. So it's okay, right? No, it's not okay. It's stupid. There's no way that a country with this brevity should be this way. It reminds me a lot of, you know, we sell coins on eBay, and it's getting oversaturated to such a point it doesn't make sense on certain generic stuff. There's a lot of generic stuff out there that is becoming basic bullion, which is good. It's great for the consumer because it's neat, collectible stuff that you can buy at the price of precious metals. And that is actually stuff that we really enjoy encouraging people to get. But the world global economy and the amount of money and the amount of material flowing in has set up new markets. This is the same with the stock market. There's too much capital coming in, and there's too few companies to really properly utilize the money. The only way they can properly utilize the money is through hypergrowth. So what happens is they get this massive influx of dollars, and that is what they use to show growth. It's not the business they're doing, it's the money you're giving them. It changes their balance sheet. It shows that they've got this extraordinary balance sheet and they've grown by X amount, and then they pay out a little bit. It's never enough, you know, but it really goes to the partners, to the, you know, to the management, CEOs, COOs, CFOs, president. These people are the ones that are making $100 million bonuses every year. And then the shareholder is the one that takes it last. And, you know, we're dealing with, you know, precious metals that, I mean, one issue that I find ironic is the amount of above ground precious metals has remained relatively static throughout human history. And here's what I mean by that. Per capita, the amount of gold and silver per man, woman, and child in the on the globe was for many, many years the equivalent of about 0.3 of an ounce of gold per person and about 6 ounces of silver. Now, the reserves are to such a point, there is less than an ounce of silver for every man, woman, and child on Earth and less than 0.1 of an ounce of gold, well less, because it's drying up, okay? So what do the bankers do? They take our focus off, but God put our focus on it. God created it starting in 2 Genesis. I've been through this over and over. You know, he blessed our patriarch. I mean, he created the world, took you and said, here's gold, go get it. Then he showed us the blessings upon our patriarchs financially, money, land, livestock. These are the things, like I said, they're biblically attributed as true wealth. Precious stones, they last, they don't change. And then it goes to the point where, you know, Solomon accumulates the greatest quantity of metals ever in the history of man, to such a point where it said silver was like stones. That's because God blessed Solomon more than any other man before, during, or after his tenure. Then you go on to the phenomenal temple, which is indescribable, the amount of gold. There was so much gold in a few of the walls of the Holy of Holies, they literally say that it would have affected gravity because it is so dense that when you went in there, you literally would have weighed about 18% less. That may sound crazy. That's just what the physics say. And I think there may be something to that, especially when you consider the fact that God said, this is holy ground. This is where angels ascend and descend. There's something mystical spiritually in a positive way about gold. It's all throughout heaven according to the Bible. You know, God gave it to Christ. The wise men brought gold to Christ. First things, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which have spiritual meaning. He's told us over and over, it's all throughout heaven. He's told us over and over, it gets cast in the streets on the final day of judgment because it won't buy salvation. But that is such an insightful scripture to say, look, it's worth money till the end. That is such a good thing. You know, I talked a minute ago about Harry Dent, who was always saying gold's going down to 700. You know, he's off that kick now. Now he's talking about the market crashing, and he's probably on to something a lot more sensible, because the stock market is literally air. It's pumped up by venture capital. It's trouble waiting. It's brewing. It's trouble waiting to happen. There's no way around it. It is cycled up and cycled down and cycled up and cycled down. I mean, folks, when we're dealing with what we're dealing with, we're talking about the money that's been in the hands of man for thousands of years, and it's never changed. Just because man creates this other system, the system will blow apart. Man's systems always fail. They're built on greed. There's so much, you know, you hear people talk about being in the pocket of Wall Street with all these politicians. Well, sure they are. They kind of have to be, because the Wall Street people have all the money. Our political system has become a mess. It's a mess. If people sell out to do anything, to go anywhere, or they get shut down or whatever. I mean, our system has failed us. Maybe it's human nature. I don't know. But I can tell you the fact that politicians are in the, you know, pockets of Wall Street, or however they say it, it doesn't baffle me a bit. You know, they're going to go where the money goes. Campaigns, I mean, the presidential campaign, $2 billion from Hillary and she lost. Is that even right? No. We should have a system that's designed to present our candidates to us without any massive quantity of money. The government should have some system to let people have an equal say, and yes, we should have elections at different levels. That's what electors are for, to weed out the chaff. But we should be able to get a man who isn't a billionaire in the office. Now, Trump, I believe, is a good guy. I believe he's the right guy. They cannot dig up any dirt on this guy. I mean, folks, that says so much. He's walked the high road. He never planned on being president, and holding things against him that look unpresidential when he never planned to be president isn't right. But, you know, there's potential there. But now he's surrounded himself with liberals. He's getting rid of the conservatives. He's getting rid of the Steve Bannons and the Reince Priebus. And all these people are getting boot. They're getting the boot. It's pretty sad. And he's getting his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and those kinds of people. His military advisors was a flaming lefty that worked for Obama. I mean, we've potentially got problems, as well as the fact that he is very hawkish on war. Now, granted, everybody's gung-ho about bombing Syria because those dirtbags dropped chemical weapons. Well, what? The leader of Syria himself is denying it vehemently. Why would that be? I mean, that doesn't make sense, does it? But do we give him a say? No. I mean, we really don't. We're being fed propaganda. Everything has to meet the agenda, and it's sad. Bill O'Reilly's been booted off of Fox for two supposed sexual harassments, where one was he called a girl, "I'm sorry, your blondness," and I don't remember the other one, but it was just as naive. We have lost our minds. Why? So we can get different people in? I don't know, folks. I feel real uncomfortable with what's going on. So we've got a shortage in metals. The dollar, the paper money, the fiat currency, is rapidly losing favor worldwide. I mean, it's a common known thing. But we're being smokescreened by all this other stuff. The dollar's rapidly losing favor worldwide. The UN, IMF, OPEC, China, Russia, and the European Union are demanding a new dollar-free one-world currency. The precious metals-based assets, hard assets, are universally recognized and accepted anywhere, anytime in the world. Folks, I'm not that traveled, but I've been around. I mean, I've been to a lot. I've been to the Middle East. I've been to the South America. I've been to Europe. I've been to the South Pacific. I've been to Australia. I've been to Central America. I've been around a little bit. And I'll tell you what, gold, the favor for gold raises the bar. In other words, it's more favorable, more desirable when you leave this nation. We're the naive ones. You go down to South America or the Middle East and they're like, "Give me gold. I love it." They find out I'm a gold dealer and they are on me like white on rice. They want gold. They don't want paper. They hate it. They're afraid of it, and they're probably a lot wiser because they've been around thousands of years. We're running around like a bunch of infants in this nation being brainwashed because life's too good. But we're talking about something that's universally recognized and accepted anywhere, anytime, private, anonymous, transportable. It's like compact real estate, right? Our Federal Reserve System is fiat, false, replacement currency. Sure, it's lasted a while. That's what people say to me. They go, "Well, if it's no good, how come it's made it this far?" It's like, well, have you ever gotten into credit card debt problems? When I got out of college, I got a new credit card. I had a hard time. I had to pay taxes. I racked it up. So I got another credit card. We were living in poverty. Life was tough. After a while, I was in big, big trouble. I got to the point where everybody else would have filed bankruptcy. I didn't do it. I just buckled down and worked for many, 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 many years. I worked my tail off and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I paid all of it back over a long, painful period of time while I was on my knees every night. God blessed us. I mean, we were talking with some friends while we traveled. We lived in the most garbage trailer out in the valley of Helena, Montana. You could even, washboard roads all around in the middle of a dust bowl with snowdrifts would come through our door in the winter because there was cracks in the walls. There was cracks by the doors, no insulation. We had this huge fireplace that was so huge you turn it on, the heat would blow you out. You know, the whole thing was falling apart. Windows were falling out. I mean, literally, this was a period of our life when God was refining us, preparing us to be good stewards, to respect him and appreciate what he was about to do in our lives. And he will do that. But you've got to train yourselves to manage and be a good steward. Sitting around saying, God, let me win the lottery, isn't going to happen. And by the way, I know that's not God's voice. Anyway, that's not how you talk to God. But, you know, we want to win the lottery. That's not the way God's going to do it. It's of no use to us. Our, you know, the Federal Reserve notes are only created when debt is acquired. So the more money we make, the more debt we accumulate. As I discussed a minute ago, 10 times the debt as currency to pay it off. If everybody in America somehow, everybody in the world that had a dollar somehow got them all together and we made a big pile and we said, you know what, we're all sick of this, we want to pay it off. We'd pay off 1/10 of our debt. We wouldn't even know we were there. What are you going to do about it? You've listened to me, you know, there's plenty of you that have acted, but why? It's not complicated. It's very simple. You're not rolling the dice. The stuff's been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's biblically attributed. It's pretty easy to do. You just call us, 444-0044, or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinsables.com. And you just, folks, I don't care what you got, savings, IRA, 401k, whatever. You just call us and say, look, I've got this, I've got that, I want your help. We take it serious, serious, serious. We will do you right. We have no snakes in the grass or skeletons in the closet. We do right, period. We know what we're doing. We're good. I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed and a bunch of other stuff. I definitely know what I'm doing. We will take terrific care of you. Just call and say, hey, I want a portfolio. I want you to do the best you can with my money. Help me out here. Let's preserve it and protect it. Something's coming, folks. We all agree. We just don't know when. So, again, thanks again. Have a good week. Spring kind of peeking around the corner, isn't it? I love, ooh, spring. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful evening, and we will be back on Wednesday. Bye-bye. Thank you.